All right, I'll ask you this question before we start with a message. How many of you here ever had a job you absolutely hated? Boy, that didn't take long. I think perhaps we all had jobs like that. And you know, I think that's the way it was supposed to be. Because you wouldn't really appreciate the job you have now if you didn't have one you hated, right? That's right. So you like your job because you've had some you didn't like. So I guess we've all had an apple out of that bag. I'm speaking to the right group, so I think I'll stay. Lord, help me here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm in good company. Lord, you see our lives. You see everything we go through every day. You've seen this week. You've heard our conversations. So you know, Lord, what we need before we ask. So I ask you to bless your word, as I know you will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Talking about laboring, working, careers. Some of you have chosen a career of your own. You work by yourself. You have your own business. Maybe perhaps it hasn't always been that way. How many of you know what it is to punch a clock? Have you ever punched a clock? Yeah. Have you ever worked on a custodial staff, janitorial work? You ever clean any bathrooms or potties? Ooh, you have my hand still up. My hand's still up. My first year or my second year of college, I worked for a janitorial staff. We do all kinds of stuff. Janitors do all kinds of stuff, don't you, Bob? Bob knows what it is. About janitors, Robert knows what it is. Janitors, sometimes we're janitors. I'll be whatever God wants me to be. Biggest thing is you need to be happy at what you're doing. You know, you can be a garbage collector and be the happiest person in the world. Garbage collectors get chances to see stuff that people throw away, and they get a chance to take it home and make something out of it. That's, you know, some people are just thrilled to do that. That's okay. There's nothing wrong. You should never look down on people, what they do for a living. Never do that. Don't have respect for persons. Don't do that. Shame on you if you do that. Don't ever look down on somebody for what they do for a living. Maybe they just so happen to like that, and they enjoy that. And that's really none of your business. Whether, you know, if that's what they like, that's okay. Sometimes we look at work as a curse, and it was part of the curse. In the book of Genesis, it was part of the curse. But it don't have to be a curse. You can make the best out of it. How can you get the best out of your place of employment? He knows, our Lord knows the best way for us to do what we need to do in this life. In the book of Colossians, we read it. We have instructions there that was addressed to Christian slaves and masters. And Paul wrote this letter. At the time, slavery was widespread in the Roman Empire. Almost half of the population of Rome was involved in slavery. Almost half the population. Today, this message would be applied to employers or employees. So the first thing we want to look at as yourself as a servant. That's number one. I'm going to give you five things to help you get the most out of your work. And this is number one. View yourself as a servant. Slaves, obey those who are your human masters in everything. You notice I stopped there and said, in just some things? What's everything mean? Just exactly what it says. Yeah, but they want me to take a COVID shot. Did you know the board wants me to take a COVID shot? I think I'll quit as being a pastor. I'm making that up. Well, what do you think? I think you should get a shot because we want you to stay. Obey your masters in some things. What did it say? Well, then why don't you do all things? Somebody ain't gonna like what I have to say, but it's all right. I came to preach what God's word says. I'm not always popular, but I'm not here to be popular. I'm here to be say what God wants me to say. This is his word. I'm not changing it. His word is what it is. You see how much easier it would be if everybody did what they were told to do? Hello. I don't like being told what to do. I know you don't, but too bad. Swallow it, as they say. Suck it up. That means do it. I got my shots. I'm still here. I'm okay. I made it. You see, Christians have a walk of faith. We do everything in faith. So, regardless of what I might have thought about the shot, doesn't matter, because I know that God's going to take me through it anyway. So what's the difference? Well, really, what is the difference? It's a walk of faith. Everything we do is faith. It's a walk of faith. And if our employer tells us we do it, we do it. Oh, boy, I'm going to be popular. Ain't not a lot of noise going on in here. Okay, let's find something else. Not as men pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord, because the Lord's your boss anyway. I know it's contrary to our culture's beliefs. Our culture presses values and rights and independence. Who wants to be a servant? But Jesus promoted a servant heart. He told his followers, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles domineer over them, and those in high positions exercise authority over them. It's not this way among you, but whoever wants to become prominent among you shall be your servant, and whoever desires to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many, Matthew 20, 25 through 28. So as Christians, we're to have that same humble attitude that Christ had. And when it comes to work, we need to work as a servant to those who employ us, and we need to demonstrate Christ-like character in the midst of it. Because this attitude will affect your motives, and it will affect, by the way, the quality of your work. Because we're not there just to get something for ourselves, but we're to benefit others and to be a witness for Christ on your own time, not on the boss's time. That's a poor witness. When you witness on the boss's time, make sure you witness on your own time. Your lunch time or your break. Don't ever be caught witnessing for the Lord on the boss's time. That's not a good Christian witness. That's not good. So if you're going to work like the Lord is your boss, then you should treat wherever your place of employment is like it was your own employment. How would you do it if you owned the business? Well, I just relax and slouch whenever I can. Oh, yeah, that's real good. Yeah, take a nap when you can get away with it. Maybe you're getting paid to get a take a nap, okay? Sleep studies do that, all right. There's all kinds of stuff we could talk about. But the main reason is when you got a job, work like the Lord's your boss. Maybe what you're doing, you've gotten pretty good at it. In fact, you're very fast. So why don't you make a recommendation that, you know, this is maybe how we could do this. It could save you some money. But how many of you would go to the boss and tell him that? Well, you're just trying to brown nose the boss. No, no, no. I'm telling you to work on a job like it was your job and you're the owner. How would you like people to work for you? And that's how you're supposed to work. Just like the Lord is your boss because he is your boss. That's what the Bible says. I'm not making this up. Because he is your boss. But you don't know my boss. Oh, well, the Lord does. And I can tell you this, if he's mistreating you, he's going to have to deal with the Lord because the Lord is his boss. That's what the Bible just told me. So he'll get his just due. You just make sure you do what he told you to do. Now, if he tells you to do something that's wrong or corrupt or immoral, that's different. That's different. And if you're having to do stuff like that, you might be better looking for another job. And the Lord will help you find another job if that's the case. Don't you worry about it. He'll help you. Because if you're being asked to do something that's against God's word and is immoral, you can bet God has another job for you. And you should be looking for another job because you shouldn't be doing something immoral on this job. If this job's requiring you or asking you to do something that's wrong, it's wrong. Look for another job. Ask the Lord to find something, and he will. He'll open up another place for you. If you have a servant spirit, probably others will take advantage or mistreat you just as they did to Jesus and Paul. But I can tell you this, you never lose when you obey the principles of God's word. You never lose. Your attitude should not be determined by how you're treated, but how the Lord says you are to behave as his follower. You're his follower. And he has a whole different set of rules for you. And in all ways, you need to honor him and glorify him. And that any way you can do that, try to do that. I know it can be difficult, but I'm just telling you, try to do your best to glorify the Lord and be a good witness. I've been, you know, people get around you. They find out where you came from or what's in your background. I know that there was times that I had several times people found out that I was studying to be a preacher. They'd say, oh, I'm sorry, preacher. I let that word slip. I'm sorry, Reverend. You know what I told them? I said, first of all, you didn't use my name in vain, so don't be worried about that. Don't apologize to me. Apologize to the one that you used his name in vain. You have communication with him. Take care of that with him. Don't worry about me. I'm a nobody. I'm just a nobody. Don't worry about it. But it was his name you used, so you need to talk to him. That's just how I handled it. Number two, do your work for the Lord. Whatever you do, work hard, wholeheartedly as for the Lord and not for people, Colossians 3:23. So whether you're under a supervisor's authority or working for yourself, the Lord is the one that we aim to please. He is our Lord in every area of our lives. We're to be submitted to him, and that includes our professions. Doing your work for the Lord means you'll do your tasks, not with eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. You won't slough off when nobody's looking. The Lord sees when nobody else is looking. He's the one you serve. So reverence him always. Do your best. Whether anyone is watching you or not, you may not like your job, but that's where you see God has placed you at this particular time. So make the best of it. Your responsibility is to serve him faithfully in that position, whether the conditions are pleasant or whether they're difficult. For right now, that's where he has placed you. But try to do a good job, okay? Try to do a good job. Another place I would like to read. I'll tell you, Paul had the perfect, he had the perfect labor industry. I'd like to put him in charge of our labor industry. For here's what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians, verse 10. It said, for when we were with you, we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Ooh. Boy, how would that go over? Huh? Now listen to me. This is where the rubber meets the road, folks. You may not always get paid what you'd like to get paid, but if that's where God puts you, you accept whatever wage you're getting. Hello? Listen to me. I work for 35 cents an hour. And you know what? I took it. And I got a little behind in my first year of my Bible school. I was working at a big grocery store. It was brand new, called Handy Andy. They had 16 registers. So if you hear me sometimes talk about groceries, I know a little bit about groceries. I stocked. I checked. In San Antonio, the ranchers came with three or four grocery carts. They only bought their groceries once a month. And it wouldn't be one of these things that you'd see a checker whenever somebody has a cart that everything's falling off of it. And when you pull into a checker, they go, oh. It's like, oh, I wish you'd go over there to Shirley. I'm sorry. Hello? Oh, I guess that never happened to anyone. Now listen to me. You're working on the job as you're working to the Lord. The Lord's your boss. It don't matter if the guy comes and he has, these are my carts. I got 16 of them. What a ticker tape that would be. Huh? There's your tape. That's the way it was. Didn't matter. But I didn't get paid much. We even had to go in on free time and learn all the specials. We had to memorize them. We had a checkers test. The manager of the store gave us a checkers test. And he put all kinds of stuff in there, like a can of salmon for 40 cents. You better not go through with that and not catch it. If you caught that can of salmon that was marked 40 cents, you'd say, here, what's the matter with it? Well, I said, it's too cheap. It's too cheap. That's what it is. Good. So that's the kind of test we had. We had to know our specials. We knew the specials. Even if people didn't know, we had to know them. So anyway, long story short, I told the manager, I got to know the manager as well, Don Simmons, big guy, assistant manager, Gonzalez. I told him, I said, I'm going to have to try to make a change. Why? I'm getting behind on my schooling. I said, most of my friends, they have a school bus driving job or they're working on roofs and they're making a little more money than I am. I'm just getting a little behind. Now, this is my first year of Bible college, my first time ever being at this grocery store, Handy Andy, and this Don Zales, the manager of the store, is a total stranger to me. You know what he offered to me? He said, you let me know what you need and I'll pay it. I just about fell over. I couldn't believe a stranger would offer that to me. I was dumbfounded. Then I knew that I was where the Lord wanted me to be. And I said, don't worry about it. I said, we'll work something out. Something will work out. It's okay. I told Don, I can't do that. I'm offering it to you. I know you are, but I said, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. I can't do that. Do you know what he did for me? Him and his assistant manager got together, and every time the store closed, he said, Roger, come over here a minute. He said, can you stay for an hour or so? Yeah, sure. What are we doing? He said, we're going to make a big stand over here, toilet paper or whatever. We're going to put a big stand up. And every time there was something that the store was selling on special that had to be a display made, he made sure I was helping. Do you know why? He wanted to get me a little more money. He wanted to get me a little more money. Now, here's a total stranger wanted to help me out, but I was where the Lord wanted me to be, and it was amazing. It was just amazing how God worked. And he'll do the same for you because he loves you. It was amazing. Wow. Man. I love going to work. It was just neat. It was just amazing. I could just see God's hand in everything I did. It was just, whew. Number three, view Christ as your authority. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. The Lord is your boss. He commands you to do what your employer says, unless it's something immoral or it's corrupt or it's unrighteous or it's dishonest or it's contrary to God's word. And if for any of those reasons you can't obey your employer, then you trust the Lord to protect and provide a different job for you, because he will. He will. Number four, see other people as worthy. Masters, grant your slaves justice and fairness, knowing you also have a master in heaven. Christian employers are warned not to treat their employees unfairly. People are not to be used for self-advancement, but they are to be loved and respected. God is our ultimate authority and judge. If we mistreat or disrespect people, we'll receive the consequences of our wrongdoings without partiality. And number five, lastly, view your rewards as both present and future. Sometimes we get wonderful things happen to us while we're here, but sometimes we have to wait for them in heaven when we go before the judgment seat of Christ. So it's nice to get rewards here, but if you haven't, it's okay. Yours is waiting for you, knowing it's from the Lord that you will receive the reward of inheritance. Through labor, we earn a paycheck. But you know there's other rewards that come to us when we do our work according to God's principles, there's other good things to look forward to. So our ambition is, as believers, we need to please the Lord in some things that we do. All things. You still with me? Checking to see how many are with me. All things. All things that we do. For what we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may receive compensation for the deeds done through the body in accordance with what he has done, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Every one of us here will one day be before the judgment seat of Christ. That's where every believer will go before. Every one of us will give an account of what we've done here on this earth. Are you a giver or a taker? I hope you're a giver. I hope you're not a taker. My prayer is you're all givers. Because on that day, if you end up with a set of roller skates, don't you blame me. Because if you're a taker, you'll get just what's coming to you. Now, like the guy said, I saw in heaven, I didn't do so bad. I saw my pastor go by in a set of roller skates. I hope it goes better for you. Don't see what you can get by with. Be a giver. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Don't be a taker. Be a cheerful giver. God has given us all something to do. It is our responsibility to do it with all of our heart, out of our love for him. And we need to do it with humility and respect for others. So, with this, I'm asking you some last questions. What's your attitude toward work? Do you see it as a burden to be endured every day? And I can tell you there was times that I did view it as such because I hated it. I really didn't like it at all. But according to the scripture, we need to view it as a blessing from God who has given us that ability to pay our bills. So you might be in a position today that you might say, well, Pastor, I really don't like where I'm working, but it is paying my bills. I said, well, amen. Good. God's placed you there for now. But I can tell you, and you can witness that with others that are here. Some can put their hand up and say, I'm working right now at a job that I really enjoy. See, they can do that. I'm enjoying my work. And I'm praying that that will be the case for every one of you. Every one of you will have that opportunity to do something that you actually love and enjoy. How often do you complain about your job? Or how often do you thank God for it? How often do you thank him for it? I can tell you I was humbled in that grocery store that day when that big Don Simmons, I had to look up to him when he said, I'll give you whatever you need, Roger, to help you get caught up. I said, you do that for me? He said, well, sure. Wow. I was humbled. I was really humbled. What would it look like to do your work wholeheartedly as to the Lord? How would a servant's heart improve your attitude and your performance on your present job? And lastly, what changes will you need to make in your thinking and your behavior to apply these biblical principles that I've mentioned today? What would it take to apply them? Every head bowed, every eye closed. My head's bowed too. I'm not interested in seeing who this message has touched. I hope it's touched all of you. But if you happen to be one that's in the audience that feels like you've been trapped in a job that you just really don't like, it isn't to your liking. I'm not looking. Neither is anybody else. Slip your hand up and say, I'm one of those, Lord. I'm trapped in a job I really don't like. Could you help me out here? Could you provide something for me? I don't like it. Slip your hand up and put it back down. Anyone else? I'm not looking. I'm going to ask you all to stand with me. We're going to pray. Oh, what a joy, what a blessing it's been today, Lord, to share today with your people about this subject. I know you love everybody that's here. I know it's not a circumstance or a mistake that they're here today. I know that they're here because you wanted to talk to them. You wanted to speak to them and let them know that you really do love them. And you're concerned about everything in their life. Every area of their life you're concerned about. So, Lord, I pray that you'll take this message today, which is your precious word, and apply it to their lives today. Help them, Lord, with their decisions. These perhaps have no chance of employment yet. Well, guide them when it is time, when it is their turn for employment. Guide them. Direct them, Lord. Our young people, direct them. Guide them and help them. Give them the things they need for the places that you're going to send them and to the place of employment that you're going to place them. Help them, Lord, today to understand that it's important that they put their trust in you, because you'll lead them and guide them to the right place at the right time. Thank you for this wonderful and beautiful day and for the chance I've had to share your word. It was a blessing and a joy. Thank you so much. It's time to go home. Be with everybody. Give them a safe trip till we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.